Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you notice, the end times, what you talking about? All I could think of is Different Strokes when I was doing that. And who was the little guy? Willis, yeah, but what was he? Gary Coleman, what was his name on the show? I don't remember either. It's been over 50 years and I've slept since then. You know, I already talked about mitan, eschatology, and SIVA. Words, aren't they? Are words important? You bet they are. You know, Jeff, every time I say a new word, he says, what's that word? He writes it down, he goes home and looks it up, and learns the word. Because without words, there's no understanding. If you have a new concept, if you don't have words for it, you don't know the concept. So in other words, to be able to understand, you have to be able to describe. Does that make sense? December 2nd, 2 weeks, is the first Sunday in Advent. Advent. Okay, there's another word for you. Where have you heard that word before? Adventure. What's an adventure? You're going to do something special. Okay? Something is coming, something is going, is an advent. Okay. Well, in the church, Advent is like Lent. In fact, it's a time of remembrance, it's a time of contemplation, it's a special time of the year. But what are we doing? What's the Advent? The coming of Jesus. Now, Jesus comes in two different ways, doesn't he? As a child for Christmas, which we're getting, that's what we start our church here with, is Christmas, okay? But he also comes as the judge of all things at the end times. And today we're remembering eschatology, or the study of the end. Make sense? You know, one of the things I thought was very interesting is our Old Testament lesson. And many times the Old Testament has just as much gospel in it as the gospel. Let's refresh this. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never been since was a nation till that time. But at that time your people will be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. What book is that? Book of Life in Heaven. And remember, when you are baptized, your name is written down in the Book of Life. Okay. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Isn't that beautiful? I thought it was. All right, so who is Michael? Well, what Michael do we know? Archangel Michael is one of the things, one of the four archangels. In Hebrew, the word is Mikael. Okay. Also in Russian, the word is Mikael. And it's Hebrew for who is like God. El is God. Okay? Beth, El. How many Bethel Lutheran churches have you ever run into? There's a lot of synagogues called Bethel. Beth is good, so good God. Okay? So when we have words like that, there's meanings to those. Why do we say Michael? Because around 900 AD in Surrey, England, it was changed from Mikael to Michael. Okay? Because people couldn't say Mikael. The second coming, the story of it, comes from the Old Testament, not the New Testament. New Testament reinforces it. But we learn about the second coming through the Old Testament. Next, there's no rapture in the Bible. How many of you ever heard the word rapture? Good. It's not in the Bible. How many of you knew that? How many of you knew the concept isn't even in the Bible? Let me read this to you. This is from one of my commentaries. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians in the Bible where it uses the Greek harpazo, meaning to snatch away or to seize. Though it has been used differently in the past, the term is now often used by certain believers to distinguish this particular event from the second coming of Jesus. So, where this is mentioned is in 2 Thessalonians, the Gospel of Matthew, 1 Corinthians, Revelation. And it's usually viewing it as preceding the second coming and followed by a thousand-year millennial kingdom. Thousand years. Have you ever heard of millennialism before? A thousand years in the book of Revelation, isn't it? If a Lutheran minister talks about millennialism, he can be defrocked. Why? Because it's not part of our theology. Okay. But yet we have that in private, in public culture. I mean, look at the Left Behind books and the Left Behind movies. It's all about that, isn't it? But yet, that whole concept came about around 1750, 1,750 years after Christ. Remember the Puritans in the United States, Cotton Mather? If you studied Puritanism as a kid in school, you know the name Cotton Mather. He's the one that came up with that. All right, so if we have something by a Puritan that's gone into public culture, you know, popular culture, does that make it right? No. Part of the thing is that this whole idea was promulgated by John Nelson Darby. You ever heard of the Darby Bible from the same time period, about 1750? He took what Cotton Mather said and had put it out in the United States, where it got the wide circulation. People started hearing that idea. Where they got this was from two books of the Bible. First of all, Ephraim, or Pseudo-Ephraim is how it's called. It's one of those books in the Apocrypha that was thrown out of the Bible by Eusebius. The other one is the book of Enoch. Enoch, I've talked about it here before. Okay, that was thrown out of the Bible at the same time. So if we have a concept that was thrown out of the Bible when the Bible was put together, why do we come back and use it today? Doesn't make sense, does it? But yet, if I talk about this in popular culture, there are Christian brothers and sisters that would argue with me, wouldn't they? But yet, it's not in the Bible. It's not part of theology. It was something about 250 years ago somebody came up with. Well, if that's the case, then I don't think we need to worry about it. But in the book of Revelation, it does talk about the tribulation and the thousand years, doesn't it? Guess where the book of Revelation got that? Because I've talked about this in Bible study. Anybody remember? Enoch. Okay. So the book of Revelation, especially the first seven chapters, is based on a book that was thrown out of the Bible. And you got to remember that Revelation is where it is in the Bible because nobody was sure it should be there. But there's good stuff in Revelation too. Okay. But the thing is, as Christians, we need to understand what is good in the book and what isn't good in the book. And it's my job to tell you that because that's what you pay me for. But part of the thing is there's a lot of good things in Revelation. If you remember, I based my sermon, what was it, 2 weeks ago in Revelation. And that's okay. But we need to understand when things come out that are based on a non-biblical source, okay, do we take it as gospel? See what I'm getting at? What do we know then about the end times? What does Paul teach? Where are we going to meet him? Where are we going to meet Jesus? Come on, you good Christians in here. Probably it's a good thing I'm preaching on this today, isn't it?
We must all be bad Christians.
Oh, we are going to meet him in the air, remember? And that's where that arpazo comes up, to snatch or to grab. We're pulled up with him in the air. That's what Apostle Paul teaches, okay? There's no thousand years, okay? There's no left behind. But we know at that time that there will be judgment. Who's the judge? Jesus. Okay. The word in Greek is pantocrator. Panto, hand, all. Okay. Panto, of all, crater, judge. The judge of all things. Well, if that's the case, who's our defense attorney? Yeah, it's too late. Yeah, you're going down the tubes. Because the Apostle John in the Gospel of John talks about the end times as a trial. And he talks about our advocate, our trial lawyer, who brings comfort to us, the comforter. Come on, how many more hints do I need to give you? The Holy Spirit. All right, so the Holy Spirit is your defense attorney.
Do that again.
We're all witnesses.
I've been trying to get him to stop.
Hey, Cavare Road. Yeah, anyway. So, as we look at this kind of thing, okay, we are going to be judged. Jesus, what do we say in the creed? To judge the living and the dead. If you were kids, we learned it as the quick and the dead. Well, they changed it. Okay? So, we are all going to be judged. We know that because the Bible tells us so. Right?
We have to stand in line like we do
before. That's right. Oh, man. There is a movie with Meryl Streep. Oh, I shouldn't do this. Yeah, well, it's not that. I can't think of the name of the movie. But it's about a guy that dies, and it's Albert Brooks, okay? And he goes through this process. I mean, it's Rip Torn is his supposed defense attorney, and so they're meeting, and they show all the things in his life when he was bad. Okay. And he's coming and trying to come up with ideas. And so what happens, you get on a bus, either the bus is going up or the bus is going down. And so he sneaks off the bad bus and goes on the good bus with Meryl Streep, and they take off together. You know, so they go up. It's a cute movie, but it's dealing with the same subjects we're talking about here. But look up on IMDb, Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep, and you come across that movie. It's worth watching. It really is. It's cute. But part of the thing is, we talk about these things, and they're hard to understand, aren't they? It's just, like I said earlier, where are we going to meet the Apostle Paul? And all of you sit there and smile at me. Okay. All we know is what the Bible tells us, isn't it? Well, do we need anything in Scripture to make the end times more accessible to us? Really not, okay? One of the things, we're a Lutheran church, and so I quote Luther a lot, don't I? Is it Scripture? Well, sometimes you use Scripture. Why do I quote Luther? And it's not because I'm Lutheran. It's because he's a good pastor, okay? And I wish I was half as smart as he was. I mean, the man's brilliant. But yet, too, as a Lutheran pastor, the example is, here I stand, I can do no other. Right? In that part. Peggy, you're trying to get my attention.
The movie was Defending Your Life.
Defending Your Life. Thank you. Anyway, if you get a chance, watch that movie, and I think it's available on YouTube. Okay? I'm not going to tell you how good the quality is, but if you want a good couple hours, it's good to watch. But I want to quote you Luther's explanation to the third article of the Creed, the Apostles' Creed, which we say today here in a few minutes. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. It's the last part of the Creed, isn't it? All right, now you got to remember the Creed. In fact, go to the Creed. It's after the sermon. Take a look at it. Okay. The Creed's in three parts. First part is about what? Father. What's the second part on? I believe in Jesus Christ. And then I believe in the Holy Spirit. Okay? How many of you, I think I've talked about that, but how many of you ever noticed the Creed's in three parts? Okay? And that's why it's about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, about what we believe. All right, so the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Is that under the Holy Spirit or under Jesus? It's under sanctification, isn't it? Now, we know that from the Catechism that the Holy Spirit sanctifies us and keeps us in the one true faith, right? Okay? By the way, it's the same thing in the Roman Catholic Catechism, too. Sanctification. What does the word sanctification mean? All right, in the Mass, Sanctus. What's a Sanctus? I'm looking at all my former Roman Catholics. Part 13 of the Mass, out of 19 parts. To make holy. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. That's the Sanctus. Okay? So, Sanctus, sanctification, means to make holy. So, Jesus doesn't make us holy. The Holy Spirit is who leads us into holiness. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we have the Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. There's the blessing, isn't it? But where did it come from? The cross. Jesus paid for that on the cross. And as I've said this before, when we look at the cross, it comes down from heaven. And where does it go? Out. Okay? That's one of the things I love about the cross. Now, I know the arguments. Oh, it's a torture device of the Roman Empire. So what? We receive from God, and it comes out to us and all believers. And it also comes out to all who are not believers yet. Remember in the readings for today, until the gospel's been proclaimed to all people. That's when the end times are going to come. All right, I want to read to you Luther's explanation of the third article. Some of you are going to know this, some of you aren't. So, and the life everlasting, amen. And he always starts with, what does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. We're powerless. We can't do it. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Now, where does it say Lutheranism in there? It don't. It calls the entire Christian church. Any church that has that in it, it calls, gathers, and enlightens. Because it comes from Jesus Christ. And you notice in the reading of the gospel today, for my sake, for Christ's sake. I did that sermon on that not too long ago, didn't I? For Christ's sake. Isn't that a blessing? In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. This is most certainly true. Let us pray. Dearest Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we eagerly await your second coming in majesty and the blessings of salvation, eternal life with you in heaven. As we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, we are thankful for everything you have done for us. Especially we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross for us and the gift of your advocate for our salvation, the Holy Spirit. And the people of God respond with, amen. Amen. To God be the glory forever and ever. Hallelujah.